that fun? Didn't that just lift you up? Paul Simon gave us so many hits, and we play all of it. Well, those are the ones from the 60s and 70s, basically, here on the Boomer Radio Network. Now it's getting a little lighter now. The sun's trying to break through the gray. I see. But it's a chilly morning, isn't it, Gene? It feels like a little wintry.
It's supposed to get sunny and warmer today, though, yeah. And I can't wait.
High of 65. So been looking forward to this. About a month ago, Mayor Gene and I had coffee, and we spent an hour talking about life.
Yes.
After what you went through, and that kind of inspired both of us to say, let's do this on the air. Let's do some good.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking about you this week because, well, you look at what you went through. You lost a husband through suicide, and then you jumped back. You didn't take much time off, and you jumped back in, and now you're going through debates. You have a debate this morning at 10 o'clock on KFAB, and there's stuff that's happening with the city. There's a conceptual drawing about what's going to happen to the Civic Auditorium.
Yes, that was a good announcement, a fun announcement that we made. We've been working on that for a long time.
Well, that's the point. And the World Herald says, oh, you're just doing this because you're running for election or something. And anyone with any intelligence would say this has been in progress since, 2017.
Yeah, that was kind of a ridiculous statement to make. But, of course, any multi-million dollar development takes years to develop. And, you know, I've always taken the position since I've been mayor that when we come to an agreement with any developer, whether it be ConAgra or whether it be Heartland Preserve or Avenue 1 out on 192nd Dodge or Blackstone or the Millworks District, when we come to an agreement, we're not required to put it out in public. It's called an MOU or Memorandum of Understanding, but I do it. I do it as soon as we sign. And, you know, on the civic site, I signed the agreement on Friday, and so we put that information out as soon as we could, like we do all the time. But this is, you know, the Civic Auditorium site, we finished demo in 2017. And we did have a developer at that time. The developer walked away from the project, and we've been working on it ever since to get the right development at the right time. And this is what this is right here. We're excited about it.
Well, and we are too. And that's on your plate. And you just had another, your son had another baby. Congratulations.
Yes, I have a 2-week-old grandson now.
Oh,
yes.
But that takes energy.
It does.
And you got four little babies.
Four little grandsons, 3 years old and under. So when they visit, it's loud and it's fun.
So let me ask you a personal question. Are you getting enough rest?
Rest is the thing I am lacking right now. Mm. You know,
I can hear it in your voice.
Yes. Joe died March 5th. And so it's only been 2 months, and it's been a whirlwind since then.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know, I took about a week off because my kids were over all the time, and I had family from out of town here. But then I went right back to work, and I haven't taken any time off. And it helped me to go back to work because it helped me focus. And I love my job. I love the people I work with. They're very supportive of me, and so that helped a lot. But you know, I try to get exercise. I get up every morning. I walk on a treadmill. I do lift weights. I lift weights twice a week. I kept up with that. I'm trying to eat right, but sleep is a hard thing for me to do because I'm really busy. I'm still running a city. You know, I am in a campaign right now, but the city is my primary focus, and there's so much going on.
But honey, you're human.
Yes.
A human, a body can only do so much. And I want to applaud you for right after Joe's death, you got some help. You and your son went and talked to someone.
Yes, we did.
I'm in a men's group, and we talk about asking for help, which is so often seen, especially by men, as a sign of weakness.
Yes. And especially, you know, I mean, physicians and healthcare workers have had such a difficult 2020 with COVID. They were working extra hours. They were working, you know, unbelievable shifts. There was so much uncertainty with the patients they were taking care of. Mm-hmm. The stress was unbelievable, and for my husband too. And I could see the signs. He was showing signs, but he would not get help because he felt like as a physician, He took care of people. Nobody needed to take care of him. And I noticed some signs. I noticed a lack of sleep in him, a weight loss, a change of personality, some depression. But he refused to get help. And the thing I really wanted to show my kids and anyone else that is dealing with such things like I have with a spouse with depression or a family member, it's okay to get help. And that's why immediately I reached out to my physician. He suggested we go to therapy, which was a psychiatrist, and I took my son with me because I was worried about my son. My son was a lot like my husband. He liked to keep things in.
Yeah.
But I wanted to show my kids, it's okay. It's not a sign of weakness to go get help. And if Joe would have gotten help, I don't know. Maybe things would have been different. But I really wanted to show my kids, I needed help. They need help. It's okay to go out there. There's no stigma to asking to sit down and say, here's what's going on in my life.
And I think that anybody who went through the last 13 months, all of us, can relate to that. In one way or another, it's been hell with the pandemic and isolation, right? And some people who are introverted have enjoyed the isolation, being by themselves. But you're involved with, you interact with a lot of people. By the way, I do want to bury the lead, happy National Nurses
Day. It's National Nurses Day, yes. And I am a former critical care nurse. I love being a nurse. But my gosh, what these nurses have done since March of 2020 in the United States, it's been unbelievable. Nurses, doctors, healthcare workers, and of course, I got to mention first responders and essential workers too. But my goodness, what a job that they have done and are still doing. And so happy Nurses Day to all of those nurses out there. It's I remembered when I was working full time. You don't do it for thanks, but it means a lot when people say, hey, we appreciate you.
Yeah. Obviously, I'm with Mayor Gene this morning, and I want to talk about the signs of depression so people can kind of tick it off in their mind. We'll do that in the next segment. Mm-hmm. But I just, before we end this segment, you had said to him, you noticed a difference in Joe's behavior.
Yes.
And didn't you say, honey, talk to someone? And
yes.
He said, no, I can't.
Yes. No, he said he was so worried. He said, he kept on telling me, I don't understand.
Right.
He said, I'm a physician. I take care of people. I don't go out and get help because then it would be a stigma on me. And the thing that with mental illness too, is people can have severe problems and depression and yet go out in public and appear totally normal.
Great point.
And nobody else notices. And, you know, I talked to Joe's boss and I talked to the chairman of surgery at the med center and nobody noticed at work. You know, he said he
played the role.
The way
well.
He took care of patients, he was still doing surgery and he was doing it excellent like he always did.
But the hell he was creating in between his two ears.
Yes, exactly. And that was it. And I could see it. You know, I could see his behavior change. I could see the first thing I noticed is lack of sleep. He couldn't sleep. Then I noticed he started losing weight. And, you know, then I noticed he would be up and down when he came home. Sometimes he would be almost giddy. And then the next day he would look like he could hardly talk.
And you just mentioned three of the six or seven classical signs of depression right there.
Yes, absolutely. But then, you know, we would get to talking about work or I'd always ask him how his day was. And he just seemed right on and just perfectly normal.
Mm-hmm.
So, I kept on saying to him, you know, Joe, you need to talk to somebody. I'm noticing these things. And it would almost make him angry. It was like, no, I'm fine.
Defensive.
I'm fine. Yeah, very defensive about it.
Yeah.
But I think anybody in the situation that I was in that had a spouse that died by suicide, you notice these things, but you never, ever expect that it was going to end in a suicide. Never.
Gene and I wanted to bring these issues to light because when you hold it under the light and look at it in the daytime, it loses its power and its boogeyman-ness about it. We're going to do another segment in just in a couple of minutes.
Great,
okay,
good.
I'm glad you're here. 818.
No other radio station feels as good as Boomer.
Hey, it's Wingy and my in-studio guest, Mayor Gene. I'm just multitasking here. And I'm going to open the new... Excuse me for just a second. Not ignore. You okay? You have your water?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just enjoying watching you over there.
New file. I don't want to lose any of this. Okay, there we go. Here at the Boomer Radio Network, visiting with Mayor Gene. Two reasons. Well, lots of reasons. It's National Nurses Day, and you're one of my favorite people that I know who is a nurse.
Yes.
And May is National Mental Health Awareness Month. Yes. And when we had coffee and you were describing the details of Joe's, your husband's, suicide and subsequent reaction to the city, I said, let's talk about this. I think people would be interested. Now, you did a wonderful interview with Rob McCartney at Channel 7.
Julie Cornell, yeah. Yeah, I did Julie, right.
You've been very open about every detail.
Yes.
You told me, the thing that stayed with me after our coffee was, you said you were walking one day or jogging and some guy drove by, lowered his window, and what did he say?
Yes, I mean, we talked about how everybody's been so supportive and sensitive, but some were not. And right after Joe's death, it was a day after outside with my dogs and my kids just to get outside for a few minutes. And somebody drove by and he rolled his window down and he said, hey, how did he do it? Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, my goodness, how insensitive mm-hmm. that is. My kids were just stunned that somebody would say that. Mm-hmm. And all I said is, you know, it's personal. Move on.
Please keep it moving.
Yes, we're not going to discuss that. But I've been very open about it because I just want people to know that this is something that can affect anybody. You see signs like we did, but you never, ever, I never expected it would end this way. And what has helped is people being kind and people offering support.
You said you got thousands of notes.
I would say, I bet you I have 2,000 letters, cards, notes from people, books, people sharing their story. I'm very surprised at how many people that I have found that have had either mental illness, depression, or even suicide in their family and how they have dealt with it. And it's kind of a club you don't want to be in, but I'm in it.
It is. I told you my father committed suicide the day I was born.
Yes.
My mother said, he came to the hospital, saw you, went home and killed himself. But now I see this as a blessing that he's kind of like watching over mm-hmm. us. But the thing is, it stays with you forever, of
yes,
course.
Yes, it does.
You'll never lose that. You'd never outgrow this.
And you always wonder if there's something that you could have done or something you would have done differently. And, you know, that's the thing that concerned me the most with my two kids. You know, they're 33 and 35. They got a lot of living left in their life, a lot. And I did not want them to think that they did anything. Because I think everybody that it has a suicide that they're dealing with, you immediately say, if there's something I could have done differently or helped more, or, you know, you're beating your head against the wall. And the one thing that that helped me, there was a lot of things that helped me a lot, but my doctor, when I went and talked to her, and she said, and this was an OBGYN doctor, this was just the usual visit.
Yeah.
But she said, look, Gene, she said, your husband had his life, you have yours. He made that decision, you didn't. And she said, now you have to move on with yours. And she said, you'll always remember this, but you have a life and your kids have a life and you've got to move forward. There's nothing that you could do about this now. And that's helped me a lot.
Good. That was brilliant mm-hmm. insight mm-hmm. and expressed so mm-hmm. brilliantly. I thought we'd run down just some of the signs of depression if someone could relate to it themselves or someone they know. And it's a very complex issue, of course. And in men, it can be different from women, but loss of appetite, risky behaviors, not just drunk driving, but addiction. It involves emotions and the effect of the body. Like if someone's comments start indicating feelings of powerlessness or poor sense of self-worth,
yes,
lack of hope that things will get better, or using words like useless and why bother,
yes,
fatigue, insomnia, lack of concentration, loss of interest in sex, persistent sadness, sense of despair, self-loathing, loss of interest in all activities. And that you surprised me. I didn't know that Joe didn't, you said he didn't have any hobbies.
No, he worked. That was his, being a surgeon and being a trauma surgeon was his identity to mm-hmm. Joe. And he loved what he did. He truly did. But those signs that you just read, he had every one of them.
One more. Anxiety and irritability. You
yes.
said he snapped at you.
Oh, yes. And he never was that way. But the first thing I noticed was he couldn't sleep. And then he lost weight. He lost about 35 pounds. And, you know, he had some mood swings. And I could tell that he was down a lot. He was critical of himself. You know, Joe was one that used to lecture my kids because of what he did, being a trauma surgeon, that you never get behind a wheel if you have a drop of alcohol. Never, never, never. Hmm. And Joe, we used to go out, say, for brunch on Sunday, and he would work. He was scheduled to work midnight Sunday night. He wouldn't even have a drop of a Bloody Mary on Sunday morning, knowing that he was going to be working that night. He started drinking a lot more as far as alcohol goes. I never seen him do that before. Mm-hmm. All of these signs and the self-loathing, you would never know that with Joe in public. But, you know, I'll go back to the suicide note he left me.
Please.
And he said, I'm sorry for all the grief that I've caused you your entire life.
Oh, my God.
And he never caused me grief.
Right.
But it was like he was so down on himself when he did this.
We depressives awfulize, catastrophize, personalize, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
We remember events that we did 40 years ago, and we're still, mm-hmm. it still gnaws at us, right?
Yes, but then in public. You know, we went out to dinner the night before he died, and we went to one of our favorite restaurants. There was not a clue that he was depressed. Mm-hmm. I mean, he could be out in public, and nobody would ever know what was going on inside his head. And I didn't know everything going on inside his head. Like I said, I saw the signs. I tried to convince him to talk to somebody and to get help. But see, again, you never know how deep this was in his head.
After being married how many years? You couldn't read his mind.
41 years I was married.
And you couldn't read his mind.
No.
And of course not.
No. And it's been so difficult, but still it's enlightening too. One of the things that I leave on my desk is a letter that I received, a letter from a retired police officer in Omaha. And he first started out and he said, I knew your husband because I used to investigate traffic accidents. And he said, when I would bring him in the ER, everybody else would look at us as a nuisance. Your husband would always take time to explain the injuries. And he said, otherwise he's a good guy. But what he said is his wife of over, I think it was like 35 years, mm-hmm. had a lifelong addiction to pain medicine because when she gave birth to his son, who is now an Omaha police officer, she had some ruptured disc and she had pain in her back and she had a lifelong addiction to pain medicine.
Yeah.
And he said, like one day after an anniversary, it's like their 32nd anniversary, it was the middle of the day, he was taking a shower, she went back and killed herself. And he said, I'm writing this to give you hope. And he said, there were months that I thought I would never smile again, never be happy again, never could go out in public again. And he says, but I'm telling you, you can. And that letter meant so much to me because he said, you know, I've remarried. I'm married to a wonderful woman. I'm happy. And he said, a day doesn't go by that I don't think of my wife's soul. But he said, you can be happy again. I can be happy again. And that letter meant so much to me.
I have a banker who said that's a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Yes.
We can help you. There is help. There is hope. Mm-hmm. And to go talk to people. We could go on forever, but I think I want to let you go because you have a debate to do.
I do. I have a 10 o'clock debate this morning, but that's okay.
As a friend, I want to encourage you to take care of yourself. Try to get some more sleep. Tell your staff you need a little bit of a break. And when the election, after you win the election, please take some time off. And
that's what my intent is. I'm going to take some time with my kids, and then I'm going to probably just take a little time off just for a little break because I haven't had any in probably about, I don't think I've had a vacation in about 3 years. And, you know, I don't complain because I love my job, but I think right now we all need a break. COVID has been difficult for everybody. And you know, I've had a lot of personal things happen, and I think it's good for your psyche. It's good for your mental health. So,
well, thank you for sharing and opening up, being such an open heart.
My pleasure. It's good to be with you.
I always enjoy it. Mayor Gene Stothert, 8:35.
Keep booming, my friend.